I would like to call the agenda or the meeting to, I'd like to call, what do I say? This is my first time. So I'd like to call tonight's meeting to order. Thank you. A meeting of the Rockland City Council and the Rockland Public Financing Authority and Successor Agency. What I'd like to do, with your approval, is to open tonight's meeting with a moment of silence in recognition of the 15th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks and a recognition of all of those who lost their lives that day and also all of those who came to their aid and assistance both here in the United States and overseas. So if you could please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. And I'd like to invite...
Mr. Mayor, while you're still on that,
mm-hmm.
Want to make sure that people, many people, some of you guys weren't even alive then, but Rockland was very active in that. The Rockland Firefighters Association, out of their own pocket, paid to fly their members back. They took their vacation days, went back there, and helped with the funeral services because it was so overwhelming. So a lot of people don't understand that about the firefighters. And Kurt, I would wish that you would pass on the citizens. Thank you for that.
Absolutely, I will. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, my pleasure. And to lead us in the pledge this evening, I invite Chief Lawrence to do that on behalf of first responders everywhere.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of our country.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Barbara, can we have roll call, please?
Councilmember Magnuson.
I'm very pleased to be here today.
Councilmember Yule.
I'm here.
Vice Mayor Butler.
Here.
And Mayor Janda is excused.
And Councilmember Russlin is far, far away.
Yes.
Council reports. Reports from boards, committees, and commissions. I understand we have a city attorney recruitment report.
Yes.
Councilmember Yule.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Not too in-depth, very brief. Just want to bring council up to date. You know, we've been working DM. Actually, I want to first of all say thank you to our city attorney who has put in probably a lot more hours, many more hours in this than maybe we thought you'd need to. But we've been working with our recruiter. And before you tonight, hot off the press, as of this afternoon, is a brochure. I don't know if we have a copy of this out in the public, but... Is it in the back? Okay, thank you, Barbara. Yeah, it, again, literally came out today. It will be mailed tomorrow, and this is the recruitment tool for the city attorney. There's also an advertisement for the job placement in the Western Cities magazine that I know it's been submitted, I think, going out
October issue.
Okay. And we're moving along, so we're hopeful that this will generate some interest in. Before too long, we'll be interviewing some candidates for a new city attorney.
And it's going to be posted online, right? Not just snail mail.
Yes. Okay. It's posted in many places, actually. Yeah.
Thank you, Scott.
Any other reports from any other council members, boards, committees, commissions? George?
No, sir.
Scott?
No, thank you.
I have one little one. Chair of the Placer County Economic Development Board, and we're meeting Kings Beach, Lake Tahoe next Thursday to look at the streetscape improvements there. But also wanted to make sure that everybody knew one of our strategies is to promote the development of downtowns all throughout Placer County in addition to Rocklands. And the board is hosting a mini study mission to Livermore, where those of us in Placer County can see a Main Street America program up close and personal. And then on October 28th in Roseville at the Tower Theater, we're hosting a it's kind of a summit slash workshop hosted by U.S. Bank and Main Street America out of Washington, D.C. To talk about how to catalyze your downtown development utilizing entrepreneurs and technology businesses in particular. This is only one of four similar meetings taking place across the country. We have one right here in Placer County. So I invite you all to come and participate in that. So with that, move to consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull an item?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to remove item 18 just for some minimal discussion.
Okay, George?
No, I don't. I think you had a few you're going to pull.
Item 12 has been requested by staff to be pulled.
And I'll do agenda or I'll go back to agenda review. So item 12 is pulled by staff, pulled completely. Okay, right. I'm going to get to agenda modification in a sec. Okay. And then I would like to pull number 8, quarterly police report, with just a comment and clarification from the chief, if that's okay. Does anyone in the public have an item on the consent calendar that they would like to see pulled for further comment? Seeing none, bring it back to council. Can I have a motion on the consent calendar?
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent calendar as amended, pulling item 8, removing item 12, and pulling item 18.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Got to go back a second to agenda review. We already pulled item 12 off of the agenda. But also coming off at the request of staff is item 29, which relates to traffic calming at Whitney, Argonaut, and Midas. So if anybody was here hoping to talk about that tonight, it's going to come back to us at a later date. Okay? Any other agenda modifications from anyone? Okay, great. Thank you.
Can we highlight that there's some items that have been continued that showed on the thing, in case people don't have a copy of the agenda?
Sure. Items 24, 25, and 26 were scheduled for this evening, but they've been continued till October 25th. And those relate to approving elements relating to development. Okay. So with that, we'll go to citizens' address. No, I'm sorry.
Eight.
Special presentations.
Actually, you have 8.
We want to cover the items.
Oh,
before.
Yeah. We have to cover those items.
Item 8.
So why don't we go to agenda item 8. Chief, one of the reasons why I pulled that off is in your report, it indicated that property crimes had dropped by like 11%, 10 or 11%, which seemed like a significant drop. Could you explain why you think that happened?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. It's an interesting trend for us because since Proposition 47 was passed, up and down the entire state of California, property crimes and violent crimes both have actually been increasing. So for property crimes, for us to be decreasing is actually a very positive trend in light of not only growth here locally, but also the Proposition 47 that's impacted the entire state. So for us here, you might recall Proposition 47 took several what used to be felony crimes and reduced them to misdemeanors. For example, hard drugs, methamphetamines, heroin, possession of a stolen firearm, those all became misdemeanors and they used to be felonies. So in Rockland, we took a concerted effort to take a more serious look at misdemeanor crimes. So rather than issue a citation in the field, which is permissible on a misdemeanor arrest, you can issue a promise to appear in the field and they have a court date, we've actually taken a different approach wherein we will arrest a misdemeanor criminal, take them to the police station, fingerprint them, photograph them, and release them on a citation from the police department. And then they end up walking back to the car, wherever, if they had a car, where their car was. That process takes about 2 hours. So our first blush guess is that's had a positive impact for us, because the message we want to send to criminals is, even though you might be committing a misdemeanor, let's say shoplifting, and that's the biggest reduction in our crime is shoplifting, it's still going to be a serious process here in Rockland, and it's going to be an inconvenience.
So word's gotten out among the California Association of Shoplifters that Rockland is not the best place to do business, at least for them.
That's what we're hoping, and I hope the media is here to pick up your tagline, and they'll print that in the paper.
Okay. Well, thank you. I think it's important to note that because public safety really is any local government's number one priority, and I wanted to make sure that we call that out. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comment on agenda item number 8? No? Scott, 18?
Yeah. Can we take these one at a time? Maybe I'm
sure,
move to approve item 8.
8. A motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Abstentions? Motion passes. Item 18.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to give me just some clarification and walk through the process. I understand, this addresses the non-conforming lots that are, undersized that wouldn't normally allow development. This will essentially allow those. And I was wondering, and I'm certainly supportive of that, but how does that work? Is it the same process as any lot, or what is the process one has to go through to build on one of these lots? Planning commission, what are the steps?
If I understand your question correctly, for a lot that's currently considered nonconforming?
Yeah. Is it any different now? There would be no difference. I mean, somebody would still be bringing a project to planning commission on some
actually,
of these lots?
Actually, no. If the amendments that staff is proposing were approved, provided that the lot and the proposed development on it, in most cases this will be a single-family home.
Yeah.
could meet all the setback and lot coverage requirements of the zoning district in which it is located, they would only need to pull a building permit. Whereas today, they would need to either change the zoning on the lot or amend the lot sizes itself by doing a boundary line adjustment with an adjacent property to make it meet the minimum size requirements of the zone district. So it would make it much easier for people who have these types of lots to develop them. There's a handful of them in the city that we're aware of. So it's not a sweeping change, but it can be quite onerous for, your average homeowner or property owner to have to deal with those types of issues.
Okay, that's helpful. I don't want to advocate, more regulation on folks either. But what I'm trying to get at it too is if there's sometimes people can build or get permits and it's a lot easier to build maybe something on there that, wouldn't be necessarily allowed anywhere else. And so then you have surrounding neighbors, that might complain. And I was just wondering how we might resolve some of those issues.
Well, because they would still be required to comply with all the standards that would be applicable to the surrounding properties, there really should not be any consistency issues that way, if I'm understanding your concern correctly. If they wanted to do something that deviated from those standards, i.e. reduce the setbacks or increase the lot coverage beyond what the zoning allowed, then they would have to go through an approval process through the city, i.e. a variance or some other process depending on what the specific issue was. So they would not be getting any ability to deviate from the standard zoning issues. It's only the size of the lot that is in question. In particular, there's several in the Farron Street area where the lots were created 100 years ago. They're 5,000 square foot lots. The zoning is for 6,000 square feet. Someone can build a small home there, meet all the setback requirements and the lot coverage standards of the R16 zoning district that is applicable there. But because of this particular code section that says if you don't meet the minimum lot size, you can't do anything, they're stuck.
Okay.
So that's what this would do, is would open it up and allow those people in that particular situation the ability to develop their lots consistent with the standards applicable to their property and all the surrounding properties.
And the most prevalent issue is the setbacks, right?
Yeah. Setbacks and lot coverage, yes. And so if they can't meet those, then they still have to go through some other process with the city, as I said, either a variance or doing a lot line adjustment to increase the size of the property, provided they can work with adjacent owners.
And this is citywide, too?
It would be effective citywide. The practical impact would be mostly in the older areas of the city.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, real quick question. Brett, would you, just for everyone's benefit, refresh or remind everyone, when does design review in terms of looking at the architecture of a home apply to a situation? When does it not apply typically to a situation?
Design review for single-family homes applies, generally speaking, only on lots that are less than 5 or 6,000 square feet in size. They're not located in the R15 zone district, which is the Old Town area. That area is specifically exempted from design review requirements in that zone standard. Otherwise, if it's a lot smaller than 6,000 square feet, the design of the homes does have to come back to the Planning Commission.
Okay. And this doesn't pertain to appurtenant structures or something? Somebody can just build another structure, secondary structure?
Well, to have a secondary structure, you have to have the primary. So you can't, as the standard sets right now, you can't do anything on a lot that's substandard in size.
Okay. All right. That brings some clarity. Sorry. Thanks.
George, do you have any comment?
Well, this won't allow anybody to split lots at all, right?
No.
Okay.
Actually, this would apply only to lots that are already too small to subdivide.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Because there's a lot of large lots in the Old Town area where they have split them in half and have second dwellings on it.
But, yeah, this would, as I understand it, pertain only to under 6,000 square feet now.
Lots that are smaller than the zoning minimum, yes.
Okay.
And just as a comment, I just want to compliment staff for bringing this to us because, you know, there are a lot of small lots in the, you know, downtown core that ostensibly just can't be built on and folks aren't able to make money off their land. And so this is another example of us exacting some flexibility in our statutes to enable, you know, people to maximize, you know, the use of their property. So thank you.
Yeah.
Any comments from the public on this item?
Thank you, Brett.
Seeing none, bring it back to council to have a motion.
I move to approve item number 18.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Abstention, motion carries. Next, we have special presentations. And because in the consent calendar, we approved the appointment of Brett Hunter to the Board of Appeals, we're going to have Barbara go ahead and swear him in. For those of you that don't know Brett, he is a educator at Whitney High School. As career technical education instructor and manages the construction management program for all intents and purposes, preparing young people for college and career. So thank you for that. And you're also a baseball coach, right?
I did you baseball, were. Football there for a long time. Actually, Scott, I think you were our first sponsor on a banner out there about 12 years ago.
Can we
glad
have him
there.
Stand up
go,
to speak so, at the microphone?
Sure. Oh, if you'd
sorry.
Like to
sorry.
Thank you.
Say a few things, Brett.
Push button?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it okay?
Perfect. You're doing perfect.
Oh, okay.
First
Thank
time
you.
Out, you're doing great.
Much better than me.
So I know, did you want to say anything about your opportunity and why you stepped up?
Oh, absolutely. Being involved in the community, having moved here to Rockland, I started as a teacher here and coaching and fell in love with the community and found a house to live here to make it our own. We have three children. And as we were looking at some improvements on our own property and have done some other ones, as I'm looking through a lot of information, and my wife was too, there was an opening for it to help serve and be a community member. Being in the building industry with helping our future builders, hopefully architects, construction managers, or trades, that I could teach them the correct way and become more familiar with things that as a city that we deal with on an annual basis.
Well, thanks so much for committing to serve. Barbara, would you like to administer the oath?
Okay.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Brett Hunter.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I discharge
the duties upon which I'm about to enter.
The duties that I'm about, that I'm which about to enter.
Yes. Congratulations, Dan.
Thank you very much.
And now Brett is officially a member of Team Rockland. And now another fun opportunity. We have a presentation from the Summer Civic Program, presentation by Jordan Pinkham and Kareem Heisler.
Good evening, Vice Mayor, Council members. I'm Corinne Heisler, the Environmental Services Specialist, and this is Jordan Pinkham, our engineering technician and magician, I guess. We're here today to talk to you about the Summer Civic Career Program. The program is in its third year and began in 2014 when former Councilwoman Diana Ruslin saw a need and enlisted the help of city staff, the Rockland Unified School District, and the Rockland Education Excellence Foundation. The school district advertised the program at each of their high schools and coordinated the students, while generous donations from REEF funded the scholarships that the students will receive today after this meeting. The program gives students realistic job experience for students in high school between their junior and senior year. They had to submit an application by a given deadline. Those applications were then reviewed by city staff and Rockland School District staff as well. We brought in students for interviews where they had to answer typical interview questions and were vetted through our staff. Students that were selected then had to go through an orientation that mimicked our HR hiring process.
This year, we're pleased to accept 15 students from all three of Rockland High Schools. And once they were accepted, they were put into six of the city's divisions, which includes engineering, environmental services and geographic information systems, landscape and park maintenance, recreation. And this year, we had the addition of administrative services and fleet maintenance, which was based on feedback from our previous participants. At the last day of the program, both students and supervisors were able to give feedback. And from that, we learned that the students really appreciated the opportunity to do hands-on work, and they really desired to attain tangible skills, things that they can add to their resume and better their life for the future. The supervisors really enjoyed sharing their experience with the students. And from the surveys that we conducted at the end of the program, we're able to use that information to make the program better on a continual basis. So in order to get a better sense of what the students actually did and worked on here at the City of Rockland, we'd like to introduce Amber Tillery from the Rockland Unified School District.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me here tonight. I just would like to thank the city as a whole, all of you that made this possible, and REEF. This is such an excellent opportunity for our students. Our school district is fantastic, and our teachers, some of which are here tonight, do an excellent job educating our students, but there are some things that you just cannot learn in a classroom, and this program really let our students take a look at that. In addition to understanding a little bit about how city governance works, of which none of them had a clue prior, and we're all quite surprised at the amount of work that goes in behind the scenes. I think you'll hear from them a little bit later on that. They also got to try out a job. Some of them loved it and want to go into that career. Some of them found out that is absolutely not what they want to do. And that's the point of the whole thing. They also learned interview skills. They learned responsibility of getting up and showing up at work every day. And if you're not going to be there, to call your supervisor and how to manage things like that. And those are some things that they just can't get in the classroom. So I just want to thank you very much for this great opportunity for our students, and to Jordan and Corinne for really leading the city staff, choosing excellent supervisors for all of our students and making sure that those students were active every day of this three-week program. So at the end of the program, the students were asked to write an essay because it is for school and we like them to do things like that for us. And what they were to write on, they were to reflect on what opportunities this program has provided for them, what doors in their futures maybe this program has opened. So we took some little excerpts out of their essays and we put that audio over a bunch of photos of them from the program. And I think we have that ready, and we'll go ahead and play that now. But thank you again very much.
With countless college brochures and potential career paths before me, I was overwhelmed with simply the thought of such responsibilities. However, after participating in the Summer Civic Career Program for the City of Rockland, I walked away with a clear end goal in mind and a better understanding of the future I envisioned for myself. Working at the outreach booths and helping out at the concert gave me experience in working with the public, which is a vital aspect of most every job.
I really enjoyed knowing that I was making a real difference in my community, and it has inspired me to continue to seek out opportunities to volunteer and serve.
We experienced office culture, public outreach, and collaboration with other departments.
Through the variety of jobs I tried in this program, I was able to narrow down which responsibilities I enjoyed and which ones were not for me. For example, I much preferred coming up with creative ideas for a harvest festival to setting up for events. The knowledge that I would enjoy a job that demands creativity will help me when choosing a major. This program was a wonderful opportunity to discover what I'm drawn to in a career, an experience that most people do not have until college or even later.
Although I intended to pursue a career in law enforcement, I'd participate in this program again if I had the chance because of the skills and the opportunities it has awarded me.
The broad job outlook made me more comfortable with my future after college. There are so many things I have to look forward to.
Some of the tasks were challenging at times, but it was all worth it in the end because of the immense sense of fulfillment we got from our work.
One thing that I am very thankful to have learned is HTML code. I honestly had no idea what coding really was, and I pretty much signed it off as something only technologically gifted people could do. I was surprised by how easy it was once you get the hang of it. I've always thought that I could never be good with computers and that I just shouldn't try, but this made me realize that it is something I can do.
I have never had a job before this, and so treating this as one, I was able to grasp concepts like being on time, being professional, and working with a group on a designated task.
Future employers will see how I have been involved in my community and the skills that I have gained through this experience.
I have learned that being well organized and prepared makes events run smoothly and more enjoyable. I also realized that being patient and friendly is imperative.
Offering jobs within the different branches of the city was a creative way for each person to try something new or stick with something that they have been interested in.
Now I not only have a resume to show experience, but a few of my supervisors have asked me to apply for a job with them after I turn 18.
I now feel confident trying new things and stepping out of my comfort zone. I owe a lot of my newfound confidence and strength to this program, and I'm so thankful for the experience.
I wanted to participate in this program to learn about the various jobs involving the city, be introduced to a professional environment, and meet new people.
Time management skills, budgeting, and organization are just a few of the many important skills that I will be able to take away with me to jobs I have in the future.
I cannot thank the City of Rockland enough for allowing us to have this incredible opportunity that has shaped our career path.
So at this time, we'd like to say thank you to all those who participated in the Summer Civic Career Program. That includes city staff who participated, PR staff who helped advertise the program, as well as the students who really showed a hardworking and willing spirit throughout the program.
We have some certificates for the students, but before we get to that, we'd like to answer any questions that you guys might have.
George? No, I'm just totally impressed with everything that's been done with this program.
Thank you.
And I want to say thank you to the students, and I know everybody else is, for investing your time in the city, and I hope you have a much better appreciation for how things are run. It's probably better than going through the Citizens Academy that they have. So, but more than anything, I'm very impressed with the young people, the younger generation, that are going to be replacing us. And I'm very pleased that I'm going to rest pretty easily once I get retired. So I just thank you.
Scott?
Yeah, you may have said this. I'm sorry. How many students went through the program?
15 students.
15 students. Okay. Well, that's great. And congratulations, everybody. I also want to just, again, compliment the relationship we have with the city and the school district. And it's one of those special characteristics that make Rockland extra special. So thank you, and thank you for all your work.
Thanks, Scott. Just a couple comments. One of our colleagues is out in the audience who is a member of the Rockland Unified School District Board of Trustees, Wendy Lang. Wendy, would you like to take a bow? And, you know, this truly does reflect a great partnership between REEF, Rockland Excellence in Education Foundation, Rockland Unified School District, and the city. I honestly believe this will probably be one of Diana Rustland's greatest legacies because it's real and tangible and affects real people and our next generation of leaders. So it's awesome. Diana should be very, very proud. And then as a professional who worked with education on behalf of business, there's nothing better than applied learning so students better understand why they're learning, what they're learning in the classroom. And as a parent, there's nothing better than an internship to prepare a young person for a job and a career. And like you mentioned, sometimes to find out what you want to do, but also finding out what you don't want to do is very, very important too. So this experience is going to really benefit you for years and years and years to come. And lastly, are there any supervisors who supervise students with us today? Could any of you stand up and take a bow? Anybody? Great. Thank you. Thank you.
At this time, we would like to present the certificate. So, Vice Mayor, if you would come down.
Come in.
The City of Rockland Certificate of Recognition presented to the member of our program to commemorate your participation in the Summer Civic Career Program from June 13th, 2016 to June 30th, 2016. And this is signed by all of our council members. So our first member is Sweta Parija. Kajori Mukherjee.
This makes you a member of Team Rockland officially. Welcome. Thank you. Let's go back here because we're going to get one.
Tomlin Cox. Janelle Frank.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Now you're a member of Team Rock.
Sweet. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Iseline Doctormon. Ethan Mondell. Sabrina Nottingham.
Sabrina, thanks for all your hard work. This makes you an official member of Team Rockland. You're welcome.
Thank you. Matthew Lane. Daniel Dirksey. Max Dillon. Kiana Kubota. Richa Sharma. Alyssa Long. Adam Shara. We would also like to encourage all of the students to come outside to receive their checks for $500 that was donated by Reef. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you, everybody. That was really fun. Okay, now we go to citizens addressing the council. Members of the public may address the council at this time on any item of business of interest to the public that is not on the agenda. Speakers are limited to 5 minutes unless the time is extended by the presiding officer. That's me. Anybody, any members of the public would like to address the council on an item not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll go to public hearings. Item 23, City Council and Public Financing Authority, Kim.
Good evening, Honorable Vice Mayor and Council Members. Tonight in this public hearing, you need to open up the public hearing.
Not yet.
You have before you two resolutions, one for the City of Rockland and one for the Rockland Public Financing Authority, each approving the issuance and sale of lease revenue bonds and approving related documents and actions. Within the adopted 2016-2020 capital investment plan were a few projects which were dependent on a bond issuance as the funding source for these projects. Projects such as the construction of the new fire station, remodeling of existing fire stations, remodel of City Hall, and Quarry Park Phase 2. Due to the current favorable interest rate environment, staff is recommending refinancing the existing outstanding certificates of participations and issuance of new debt for the construction of the projects mentioned. In order to achieve a lower interest rate, the bonds will be competitively bid and have received a AA rating from both Fitch and Standard & Poor's. Lease revenue bonds are being recommended as the financing structure, utilizing a 25-year term and the requirement that the new bond have an average annual debt service equal to or less than the existing 2003 COPs of $573,000. Given current market conditions, the bonds are estimated to have a true interest cost of 2.64%, average debt service is estimated at $533,000, and an estimated additional new capital of $8 million. The City of Rockland resolution before you is approving the issuance and sale of the lease revenue bonds by the Rockland Public Financing Authority and approving related documents and actions. The Rockland Public Financing Authority resolution before you is approving the issuance and sale of lease revenue bonds and approving related documents and actions. Staff recommends approval of both these resolutions. Bond and Disclosure Counsel, Mr. Dave Fama with Jones Hall, and Financial Advisor Tom Johnson with Fieldman Rolla and city staff are here tonight and happy to answer any of your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim, for the presentation. I'll open up the public hearing. That was a weak gavel draw. Council, have any questions for Kim?
I do. First of all, comment, too, just to say thank you again for keeping our city in such great financial order. And this is essentially kind of like a refi, like one might do on their house at a better interest rate. But not to get into the weeds too much, but just for clarification, memorandum outlines it pretty well. But explain to me again why it's a lower interest rate, you know, selling the leased revenue bonds versus the certificate of participation. They're backed in the same way, aren't they? They're both general fund backing. What makes one less risky in the eyes of the investment world?
The terminology. One has the word bonds in it. It's as simple as that. Where a certificate of participations, the market, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, the market doesn't perceive a certificate of participation as strong as a bond. And so because of that, the lease revenue bonds have a lower interest rate.
Why does the certificate of participation even exist? I'm not too familiar with that term.
I'm going to turn that one over to Tom.
I don't expect that question from anyone in the public, but I'm just curious.
Hi, Tom Johnson of Fieldman, Rolapp & Associates. As Kim was saying, it kind of defies logic as to why the terminology of certificate of participation or bond would make a difference to an investor. It could be because under certain provisions, there's an abatement clause that could potentially affect the security, but the abatement clause applies to both types of transactions. But perhaps because of some historic events in the past where that abatement clause came into play. Some investors are leery of COPs more than lease revenue bonds. Now, the interest rate differential is not significant. It's a few basis points, just to illustrate the point. But a few basis points over an extended period ends up being money for the city.
Sure.
Certificates of participation was an instrument that was probably developed back in the 70s and the 80s, and it allowed a non-bond structure to come into play, and in certain legal and market situations, that was desirable.
Okay. Are they both equally insured bond insurance? I mean, are they default insurance? Were they both?
Yes.
Structures? Okay. And that's the last thing I ever want to know about COPs. But thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Okay.
George?
Don't run off. This might roll back on you also. This is the first time I think we've done a lease bond. So it's a little different. And why is that a better deal for the city than if we just borrowed it and built it? I mean, we've got the Public Finance Authority and we got the City of Rockland. In essence, they're both the same entity. So why are we doing a lease back on it?
Early in this process, I'll give you answer what I believe your question is, but I'm here to answer whatever questions you have. We did look at a private placement of having the city basically go to banks, not a bank, because we want this to be a competitive process, but to go to a number of banks and to ask them about borrowing the money. Because of the high ranking of the city, the reference to the AA rating, the banks can't compete with that high rating. So the rating that the city has received and has had over time is an excellent rating, and the banks simply can't compete with that interest rate.
Okay, I'm sorry. I guess I didn't explain the benefit of the lease versus just us. Why do we want to do a lease back?
There's a variety of reasons. One is that the lease allows you to pledge an already constructed asset to, in this case, the existing police station, to act as the asset. That's an already constructed facility. And they will accept that as the security, if you will, for the loan as the term of the lease.
Okay. So we don't make our payments, Ron and his crew are gone, huh?
George, this is no different than the COP that we have. The COP structure is exactly the same. It had the same lease, site lease and lease agreement, the exact same structure. So, it's just the different now financing vehicle from using a COP, which for whatever reason the market isn't liking, to a lease revenue bond, to have that bond in the
Okay. Yeah.
It's almost a tomato-tomato
correct.
Thank you.
Effect.
Thank you. I have no questions. Thank you. Open it up to the public for any comment. Would anyone like to make a comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to council. Any further discussion?
Not for me. I'd like to move approval.
Can we accept a motion for 23A?
That's what I was going to propose.
Good. I just want to make sure we took them separately. Thank you.
No problem. I was going to say I'd like to move approval of 23A, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland approving issuance and sale of lease revenue bonds by the Rockland Public Financing Authority and approving related documents and actions.
Second.
Motion is second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Abstain. Motion carries. Thank you.
Mayor, I'd like to move approval of 23B, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Rockland Public Finance Authority approving issuance and sale of lease revenue bonds and approving related documents and actions.
Second.
Motion and second. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Kim. And I'll close the public hearing. Next is reports from city officials, discussion and potential action items. But before I do, I want to welcome all of our students who are here tonight, part of your civics class, I guess. It's that time of year, so thank you all for being here. Who is signing for our students tonight? So can you see Chief Lawrence? I know you guys like to hit leave right at 7, so if you want to leave, then you can go see Chief Lawrence. And also, just a reminder, item 29 has been continued to another meeting. So if anybody's here on item 29, we won't be hearing that. Okay?
Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Vice Mayor?
Yes.
I think we might have missed item number 27. 28?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, I thought you were talking about 29.
Just, if anybody was here on 29, I wanted them to know before
All right.
we got to 27.
Thank you for that clarification.
Trying to be mindful of people's time.
Okay.
Okay.
You got to go slowly for me.
All right. So, number 27, lawn maintenance. I'd like for us to think about it. This is landscaping maintenance because we want people to consider other things other than the lawn. So, Mark.
Thank you. So a few council meetings ago, there was a very brief discussion at City Council about a growing concern about front yards that are sort of disappearing. Either the lawns are being allowed by the owners to die, or they're being the turf and landscaping is being replaced with mulch and stones alone. And so a request was made of staff to bring this back as a council agenda item for council discussion. And so what we've prepared for you in the brief staff report is you'll see on the second page of that report what the current city code requires. It does not require strong affirmative maintenance, I would say. It's sort of more of a, you know, you can't allow your yard to become problematic, you know, a lot of dust and so on and so forth. And many of our yards don't get to that extent of an issue. You may also recall that last year, with the change in state law, many of the industry professionals, landscapers, builders, et cetera, were asking the city about how it was interpreting the state law, what it would require for landscaping for new homes. And so staff worked with a consultant to prepare landscape templates to encourage them to be thoughtful and to not only meet state law and be considerate of water restrictions, but to make sure that our neighborhoods continued to look like neighborhoods and had healthy front yards, obviously with encouragement of turf, but also allowing for xeriscape type work as well as ground covers, and then landscaping in addition to that, plant materials, et cetera. In terms of how to deal with this type of issue, you know, a traditional approach cities often take is sort of more from a regulatory perspective. But I think at the last meeting there was a discussion about the possibility of perhaps incentivizing or creating a program or something that a contest or something that might encourage neighbors to consider, rather than just going from turf to rocks, that there are many options in between. And so that staff report touches on that, and we wanted to, you know, we've talked about a possibility of a contest you have at your desk, maybe a draft flyer, if council was interested in entertaining a competition, that this could be perhaps something along the lines of what could be advertised. A lot of the text is placeholders right now. That's why it's only in draft form, and we didn't want to assume you wanted to move in that direction. But we are certainly ready to respond to your questions or direction.
So with your okay, let's put a little bit more context in this. This is my idea. So, you know, it's the season, re-election, out walking precincts, a lot of front yards. And a lot of front yards just do not look good. After the drought, people either to want to save water and do the right thing, they've just kind of let their yards go, or perhaps as a rationale not to do maintenance, they've let their yards go. And we have codes in the books that we can utilize to encourage people to comply. But rather than doing a negative initiative, my thought was, let's see if we can do a positive initiative through a marketing communications effort, have people aspire to improve their front yard landscaping. Because frankly, it's not really fair to the people who have kept up their yards and transitioned their yards. And it's not good for property values, and quite frankly, it's not good for the city overall for us to just do nothing. So Mark took the opportunity to have a conversation with Green Acre, which is our primary landscape supply retailer, because the idea is for the city not to have to do all the work, but to leverage the commercial interests of like a Green Acre to assist with marketing and communications, and also the prize, you know, grand prize. So the reason why this is fast tracked is because you know, fall is the season of planting, so we want to get this out in front of people right away, and then through a competition, submitting photographs and such, award a prize or two or three, whatever Green Acres can put together. In the spring, and then once that's done, then we can really look at the code enforcement type of thing. So that's the concept. The idea is to have it as light a lift as possible on staff, but really have a deliberate communications effort to remind people that, you know, it's their responsibility as residents and also as good neighbors to you know, have nice, appealing, presentable landscaping in our current neighborhoods. So that's the concept, and we're trying to get this approved by the council so that we can move forward with a plan or an initiative in October, first part of October. So that's the context. Any comments, thoughts?
I have comments. I just, yeah, you have to go back. You moved to town about, what, 15 years ago?
18.
It was after the drought of 74, 75, 76. There was lots of landscaping people had that died in that drought. And it took a little while for things to rebuild. And people put a lot of extra time and money into their properties. Some of those people are the same owners that own those homes now, except now we're going, they're 25, 30 years older. And they have limited, some of them have limited income. Not everybody's rich. Not everybody can do the yard work that they used to do. And so when I drive around some of the older areas and I see some of the lots, I know that they're owner-occupied, but they just don't have the cash to do that with. I mean, they tried. They did it the first time. They did it the second time. And then this time, a lot of them were good stewards. They didn't water their lawns and a lot of things during the drought because the governor asked them not to do that. And unlike some of my neighbors that when I go out at 6 o'clock in the morning to get my newspaper, that there's water gushing down into the gutters every day because they just keep going. So there's got to be somewhere in the happy medium. I hate to tell people that they're going to get a ticket if they're trying to do something. Okay. This plan here, if there was a subsidy to it, and some city of Roseville gives a little subsidy for their program, but they have their own water district or their own water company. We deal with Placer County Water Agency. But I don't want to make people feel like they're criminals because they can't afford to re-landscape their yard. The $1,000 gift or the prize here, but that's only one prize for the whole city. Is that what you're proposing?
Well, actually, much of this text is only placeholders, and so the $1,000 was just placed there. We haven't had the detailed conversations yet because we didn't want to assume council wanted to go forward with this, but we have had some preliminary conversations with Green Acres and some other parties. One thought is perhaps everybody that submits a proposal, as long as it's kind of in line with the requirements of the program that still have to be formed, might receive a certificate. You know, it doesn't necessarily, it could be anything from the top person or the top three wins to everybody gets a certificate because we're trying to encourage participation. Those types of details haven't been worked out yet.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at this because when we pass, if we give instructions to go forward, it's going to be, from what I'm hearing from you, is that when you're walking your your neighborhoods that you really don't want to see any brown lawns or bad landscaping anywhere.
I think
I understand the neighborhood.
The intent is to encourage, you know, landscaping. If somebody has a brown lawn and the weeds aren't growing and there's not a big dust problem, they're not out of compliance with code.
Okay, that's what I want to make sure, that we're not going to be penalizing
people. And in my view, what we're discussing tonight is this initiative, and we can have a subsequent conversation later about what we choose to direct staff to do with respect to code enforcement. We don't have – part of this is that what we're doing tonight is not discussing plan B or part B of this initiative, which is a code enforcement. Really what we're discussing is a positive, proactive communication strategy to encourage people to maintain and or transition their yards. The other thing that we've talked about just briefly in conversation, we haven't had a meeting on it because we wanted to get some direction from council, is recognizing that many people don't have the ability anymore to do the landscaping themselves, or perhaps the funds themselves to pay for labor, to have conversations with churches, other nonprofit groups, and the Boy Scouts and others, to see if we can pool some volunteer labor that would assist homeowners as part of this as well. So I think the conversation was going into this. We recognize that not everybody has a lot of money or a lot of, labor.
Well, that's what I just wanted to clarify, because apparently I guess the we that you're talking about is you, Mr. Holt here. So I don't know who the we is. You said we've been talking. Oh,
just Mark and I, we had one conference call.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Love the idea, and I appreciate you bringing the concept forward. And you mentioned that this is just a placeholder, the $1,000. But for me, that's kind of the crux of this, for this to work or not to work. And are we asking, are you asking council tonight to authorize staff to move forward with the next step? And some of my concerns. I certainly like the idea of providing some positive motivation, but it is meaningful to you need to kind of know. I mean, if somebody puts some money into their front yard, then they're entered into a sweepstakes of some sort, and they can earn $1,000. Walmart sells garden supplies too, and that's another kind of an area too. So that needs to be addressed if you're not just sort of favoring one of our businesses versus others, right?
Well, I will mention a couple of things. Green Acres, when we were developing the landscape templates, they very much took an interest in what the city was trying to do at that point in time a year ago. And they were at, if you might recall, we had a very large meeting with a lot of the industry folks at the Rockland Event Center. Green Acres was there as well to support that initiative. They've continued to support this initiative ever since that time. They have these templates at their locations, and when citizens come into them now and say, I'm thinking of doing something for my yard in Rockland, do you have any suggestions? They say, oh, well, you might want to consider following these templates, and they kind of help guide them. So they kind of have been a partner from the beginning, so I'm not suggesting that anyone would be excluded. It's just we started with Green Acres because that's where we started with them originally. That's one comment. The other comment is, in terms of awards and those types of things, certainly staff agrees that has to be fleshed out. Their immediate initial comment, Green Acres' initial comment, was that they can offer some some discounts. They would typically offer those to the contractors or the design professionals. So if you're a homeowner and you are going to be hiring a landscape, you don't have to, I don't think. Under the program, we could talk about that, but I would imagine it doesn't have to be a landscaper or a landscape architect, for example. But if you were to hire those kind of individuals to help lead your effort, that they would be able to be eligible for those discounts and pass those savings on to the homeowners. That's an initial conversation we've had with Green Acres. We've reached out to PCWA. They kind of participated in an early process on the landscape templates with us. And so from time to time, they've offered programs. We're wanting to check with them to see if there's anything they currently have that could just dovetail right into this and kind of help further their efforts, or if they could craft something. So I don't know those answers yet. But that is the first point of business, that if you decided that this was something you wanted us to further explore, then we would start putting all those pieces together. And if you felt it was necessary for us to come back to you and say, here's the package, you know, here's the application form, here's the partners, here's the contributions they're making, we're happy to do that as well.
Well, I mean, I'm still a little fuzzy, too, on how this would go. I mean, I like the concept. If we could get the community, it's more of an educational outreach, get the community aware of this. But I don't think you could. I mean, you need to have this nailed down, and you know, it could cause problems. People bickering over, you know, what was promised or what they thought was promised, and man, it could just be a really messy. And I also would worry about a lot of staff time on this too, unless we, you know, I mean, it could snowball if we're not careful. I want to encourage some kind of public awareness, but I don't, you know, the sweepstakes or a. We got to have that nailed down. If you're looking for me to say, yeah, go forward with this, I mean, I would need more information.
So could I suggest perhaps, just following up on Mark's comment, that we authorize staff to go forward and develop a more detailed program, bring it back to us in 2 weeks, and perhaps they can put it under consent. And if folks want to pull it off and have a further discussion, we can do that. But the point of this was to move quickly to take advantage of the fall planting season. And also, I would also say the marketing person from Green Acre said that she doesn't know of any other municipality that's doing this type of proactive approach to encourage and incentivize individual residents to improve their landscaping. Public agencies have done it, like water agencies and stuff like that, but she hasn't seen cities.
Could I just add something to that, George?
Sure.
So I guess I would be more comfortable with we have templates. You know, if we could build a partnership with our retailers that are in this business, any and all retailers that could have access to these and educate them in some kind of a form so that they can disperse them among folks. But I'm struggling a little bit with the, you know, how you create a monetary.
Well,
incentive.
Here's the thing: is Green Acres will provide the thousand. That's what they said in concept. Now it's not a deal. Would provide the merchandise, $1,000 in merchandise. We're not talking about a cash prize. And also, if they have some level of exclusivity, and I'm not, you know, pushing Green Acres by any means, but they would do a lot of the heavy lifting in the marketing. So the concern we have about staff time. Wouldn't be as prevalent. The more we take it on ourselves and require an even Steven approach, the more we're going to have to do. But if we partner with this one entity, they're going to take on much of the lifting and provide the merchandise prize.
Okay, I just don't know how much. I mean, how much is that going to require of? I don't. I haven't been involved, so I don't know. I mean, how deep the conversations have been with Green Acre. Do they have a proposal that we could be put before us? You know, that we could actually read and understand. You know, specifically, this is what they're going to.
They've
do?
Not submitted a proposal. They are very much interested in partnering with us, but it was kind of depending on the outcome of tonight. They didn't want to necessarily spend a lot of time and energy if council had no interest.
Well,
right now, this has been sort of staff and
I mean, I think council. We're kind of coming from that standpoint. I don't want anyone to if we don't have – but it sounds like a great concept. On page 302, or at least what's marked 302 in mine, when you said templates, is this kind of what the – is this the kind of stuff that they would have, these pictures? Yeah.
So these are the templates that were designed in response to the state change in law last year. For new home construction for use by design professionals and contractors. So a lot of times what happens is when a state law changes, nobody knows exactly what the law is going to say and how is it going to be interpreted and how is it going to be applied. And so sometimes jurisdictions apply it differently. So it's common that the people who have to deal with it will contact the city and go, how are you interpreting this and what are you going to require? So rather than just take a regulatory kind of approach. We said, okay, well, this is kind of, we designed these, you'll recall, and we said, this is kind of what we're looking for. We believe this is in compliance with state law. This gives you some direction. So that was phase one of a project to try to get the existing homes. Now, there's nothing in law that we can require the existing homeowners to do, right, other than be in compliance with the code. So the concept is, what if we took those templates and, you know, further the effort with the existing homeowners as a means to make them think twice, that the options are not just let the yard die or tear it out, you know, and put rocks in it, but there's a lot of other options, like the templates show, that still will provide for low maintenance and, you know, low cost and water conservation and still allow the yard to look like a yard, right? So that's kind of where the templates started and perhaps the way the templates could be used to further this effort.
Okay. That second picture there, the middle one, what is that trying to suggest? That there's a close-up of a lot of gravel, and then there's a picture of a house. It says undesirable, desirable, the middle one.
Right. So the basic concepts in each case are, like, if you look on the left-hand side, you'll see yards that are largely rocks or mulch or very sparse landscaping. And then what's intended to be on the right-hand side are yards that either show ground covers or turf or rocks, but more a variety of landscaping materials. And then if you turn the pages, the very first example is a turf scenario example where there's a certain percentage under the state law of how much they will allow you to have turf. Some people have interpreted state law to say you can't have any turf, and that's turf, and that's incorrect. State law does allow you to have turf. It doesn't require it, but it allows for it. The second example is another example of how you might be able to utilize turf and a variety of other plantings as well. The third example is no turf, but allowing for ground cover material. Right, and so we were just showing a variety of different ways to try to follow the state law.
So if there was some program in place, is the idea that you'd have citizens could bring forth a plan and submit it to somebody, and then somebody judges that?
So the initial concept would be that perhaps there would be one umbrella competition, but two phases of the competition. The initial phase could be for landscape design, and somebody would bring those landscapes designed as soon. And it doesn't have to necessarily be, again, a landscape architect. It could be an individual homeowner or a landscaper that does the design. And the intent would be that we would try to encourage them to kind of follow the templates, not a requirement, but, you know, something that's consistent with the intent of the templates. There would be three categories: turf, ground cover, and xeriscape. And so we would have – that's a way to kind of stimulate and get people excited and get them to participate. And then we would have a single-page application form. They would submit their designs, so we know what their intent is. We'd have a committee, probably a member of, you know, each of the organizations, and we would, you know, look at those proposals and then rank them and then issue an award for design. Then people would implement. They'd plant. And then come in next spring, that's the second phase of the competition – we would go out and judge what was planted. And then, you know, some people might drop out of the program. They instituted a design, and we encouraged them, and they were excited, but they didn't have the money. Or something changed in their life, they didn't have the time. So it's not necessarily the case that the person who won the design would win the implementation, the construction part of it.
But those details haven't been discussed with Green Acres, or have they been?
They have been.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, there was a conference call with the three of us, and that discussion has occurred with Green Acres, that it doesn't have to be that format. That was the initial concept.
So who's proposing? Is it we proposing it, or are they? I would say if we had some kind of a proposal by Green Acres, that seems like a better path.
So perhaps in the interest of time, we could bring this back.
Well, I would like to say some stuff.
Okay.
Conflicting things right now. When you take a look, Placer County Water Agency says currently they feel we have enough water. But when you drive down the freeway, you'll see all the big signs above. It says California is still in a severe drought. So that sends mixed messages to people. Okay. So I want that to be thought about. Number two, while it's on the top of my mind, I would prefer that this meeting come back and that this be brought back to an October meeting. I will not be here the next in 2 weeks. I have another commitment. But what I look at is that during the drought, a couple of years ago and last year, a lot of people took out the dead turf, and they didn't want their lawns to look, your front yards to look dead. And so they put rock landscaping in, which is acceptable in Arizona and other hot climate areas. And so when I look through this pamphlet we have, and I wish you had the pictures on the screen so people could see what we're comparing here. Homes that have taken out the dead landscaping and put in the rock to make their house presentable, in their opinion, now are listed as undesirable. I hate that term. That is, I don't know who came up with that. I don't know if that was the state came up with it or we came up with it. I mean, who's the person to tell that person
we came up with
thousands of dollars and they spent their weekends out there?
Well, first of all, none of those pictures are in Rockland. Okay, those are just pictures from around wherever in the world. Secondly, we were being asked by the contractors, what are you looking to achieve? Because we had some contractors come into us with exactly those types of proposals where it was only mulch and there was nothing else, no plants, no turf, nothing else. And so what we try to do is give them clarity of direction. This is something that would be undesirable in general, and this would be something that would be more desirable. And where that came from was staff's experience working with our planning commission over the years and the things that we've seen approved through the process and the comments we've heard from city council. And so we try to take all of that in and consolidate it in a template to give people some direction.
Okay. And, well, Mark, if this goes out like this, I would like to say if there's a way to change it, just I hate to tell somebody that spent their savings and their weekends that they have an undesirable yard. Because when they look at this, that's what sure. I would think.
You know? Well, just so
you, I would have a special word for you.
And George, just so you know as well, this came before council. Those templates were presented to council 8 months ago or so. So you guys did take a look at them at one time, and they have been on the city's website since then, but we can change terminology if you like. That's not an issue.
Well, it's we've never come to this point for the
enforcement
in discussions. And so what we looked at before was something that was a little bit different than what we have here tonight.
Well, I would support I would support something that's more driven by, say, Green Acres and a formal proposal to come forward. I would be concerned about city staff awarding awards to the community. I mean, I think that's got to be more independent, either the citizens or a different committee. I don't know if it should be city employees that are awarding one or the other, but we certainly could shepherd the process and provide all the tools and implements for the templates and everything else for Green Acres, right? But a formal proposal from them, really ironclad, what it is they're proposing, I would support looking at, I guess, is where I am. But, I mean, it's just hard to get this and sort of, you know, in 10 minutes, well, maybe 20 minutes now, to figure this out, what it is we're trying to be asked, if that makes sense. I like the idea, and I appreciate you bringing forward the concept. You know, I truly do.
So are we comfortable bringing this back? Giving staff direction to bring this back, more formal application.
Is there any public comment?
I was going to get to that. The first meeting in October.
Okay. I would like to have – I'm kind of like the conservative guy here, so
– cautious.
Yeah, well, that's conservative.
Okay. Right. Is there anybody from the public that would like to comment on this? Anybody? Okay. Oops, Mark, so do you have enough direction?
Yes, thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for the conversation. Appreciate it.
Okay. Sometimes you don't want to be the guy that volunteers to make presentations, huh?
So thank you. And next is item 28, League of California Cities Annual Conference Resolutions Packet. And Kim, you're going to comment on this?
Yeah, the purpose of this item is for council members to discuss. The purpose of this item is for council members to discuss and consider taking a position that will allow the Vice Mayor Butler to vote during the League of California Cities annual meeting this October. The resolution is a resolution committing the League of California Cities to supporting Vision Zero,
towards zero deaths and other programs or initiatives to make safety a top priority for transportation projects and policy formulation, while encouraging cities to pursue similar initiatives. During the annual league meeting, voting delegates, Mr. Butler, may take the following actions: approve, disapprove, no action, amend, or refer the appropriate policy committee for further review. City staff recommendation on the league resolution is to disapprove, amend, or to refer to policy committee for further review and study. It's up to council's discussion.
Thank you, Kim. So the staff's recommendation is to not approve it, to do something other than approval. And before we get to council, could I ask Chief Lawrence just to comment on this very briefly, from what your understanding of this is and how this directly applies to our public agencies?
Sure. Well, from a very broad level, this is a very far-reaching resolution. It's probably not practical, and it's not something that's going to be easily achievable, if even reasonably achievable. So from a traffic safety standpoint, while it's nice, it's kind of pie in the sky. And I think, frankly, to pursue resolutions like that almost waters down the real issues.
Any comments from council?
No, but these kinds of resolutions always drive me crazy, because to assume that you don't support it, that doesn't mean I support auto death. You know, I mean, it just drives me crazy. These are big, fluffy, like pie in the sky sort of ideas, and I certainly want to support good policy. You know, that to minimize traffic hazards and have, you know, good roads and things. But I don't, you know. This has kind of caught me off guard, frankly, that the league is jumping on this in the way they did. Maybe there's more information out there that I'm not reading.
George?
Well, the league over the years have come up with some far-fetched ideas, and pie in the sky covers it, Chief. I don't think that this is really relevant to the city of Rockland, the way it's been proposed. And so, if you're asking for a consensus of the council, I would say vote no on it. I would follow staff's recommendation, is my feeling. I don't know.
I just feel like this is a trial lawyer's full employment act. I mean, if some municipality commits to zero deaths, zero accidents, and you have deaths and accidents, well, you told us you weren't going to have any accidents. So it's not something I could support. So the question is, follow George's recommendation of a oppose or amend and refer.
I don't even know how you would amend it. I mean, allow some deaths? I don't know. That's crazy. So, yeah, I would support George's comments.
So I have direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for going to this meeting. It takes time away from your family, and you do a great job.
Thank you for that. That's all of the reports that we have. Any announcements or brief reports? Oh, I beg your pardon. Item 30. This relates to a pedestrian crosswalk at Farron Street, and staff had not prepared a presentation unless any members of the council wanted to hear more information.
The reason that this item's on here is we were asked by several residents on the Whitney Boulevard in past meetings over a couple of years as to why or if we would consider a crosswalk at that intersection. And after the Traffic Safety Committee was able to meet on it and analyze it, the report came back basically, and this is on, there's a bridge that goes across the creek there off of Whitney that goes across Farron Street to the park that was put in several years back. And to get to it, if you're going to cross from the Paragon Street area, you got to go across the southbound lanes of Whitney, and then you have to go lane. It's only one wide lane. And then you have to go across the westbound lane of Whitney to get to Farron. But it would add false hope to the people in the crosswalk if people couldn't see them in the crosswalk. There's gigantic oleanders there and line of sight issues. And so I appreciate the Traffic committee taking a look, the safety committee taking a look at my request, but I fully understand why you're recommending that we do not put a or crosswalks at that intersection. So maybe there's some signage or something that we can put up that really advises people to, you know, caution, you know, cross with care or something. But people do cross there, and I'm afraid that if we had voted for that other issue, we could be in trouble with the attorneys of the world if somebody got hit there. I don't want to see that happen. And that was the neighbor's concern. So thank you.
Scott, any comment?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the staff putting together as extensive and exhaustive analysis on this as they have, and I concur with their findings.
Great, thank you. So this doesn't require council action. It's for information only. Is there anybody in the public that would like to make a comment on this? Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is... Oh, you got to approach the mic.
Could you come up to the mic, and then all we need is your name and city of residence, and you've got 5 minutes if you
want
to use it.
My name is Tony Fabian, and I live on Whitney Boulevard in Rockland. And I would like to request that a survey be sent out, the same survey that was sent out to the people on Midas, so that we residents...
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just did. The item that you're talking about, 29, which is the Whitney Argonaut Midas traffic calming item, that's not being heard tonight. That was...
I know that, but what 30 is part of that. You're saying that we don't need a crosswalk.
Okay,
we
do need a crosswalk. So I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah,
so
yes.
Please keep going.
But what I'm asking is to go on. We need to have the survey of the people so you know the reason why we want a stop sign or a crosswalk there, because people are trying to cross, and I have had to walk in the middle of cars coming because there was a woman waiting and cars were going by and she had her carriage and she wanted to get to the park. And they were just going by and not paying any attention to her. And she was right in the middle of where the two lanes are. She had made it across the first one, but going up Whitney, the cars just kept going by. They weren't paying any attention to her at all. So I stopped, walked into the middle of the street and stood there and made the car stop so she could get across. We have a problem, and I'm just asking for some kind of survey to so that you can find out what the people are asking for. I don't know why we can't put a stop sign there. That would stop the cars, and people could cross. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, you put a bridge there so people made it convenient for people to get to the park, but we can't get to the park from the other side of the street. I'm lucky. I live on the side of the street, so I just walk down the sidewalk and go. But when I do go to the park, I'm always having to help people get across the street. And we also have the kids that are coming across the street to go to school up on Midas. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and one other thing. Sure. The cost for this installation... I've talked to a couple of contractors, and they could do this for half that amount of the $12,500. And if you would put a stop sign, then all we would need is the pedestrian pad, you know? Thank you.
Chief, may I ask the chief a question? Mr. Vice Mayor?
You surely may.
On... 29 was pulled off because you're going to do a survey. Is that correct?
Well, the survey has been completed for Midas and Argonaut for that item. And the reason we pulled it was because, frankly, we didn't allow enough time for the public to see it. Our attachment didn't follow the staff report timely enough. And so we felt that it was better to postpone it to give people an opportunity to digest it, see it, and make comments.
Is it possible to amend the survey and extend it out a little bit and ask about us? Is that going to cover it on Whitney? Is that being included in that? It looks like it was in your survey.
The first phase of that survey was specific to Midas and Argonaut, and Justin Narkter in Public Services performed the survey, but our first focus was Midas and Argonaut, realizing that if you do some type of traffic safety or traffic calming on one of those two streets, it will impact the other street. In other words, if you put a stop sign on Midas or some type of a safety precaution on Midas, it'll redirect traffic onto Argonaut. Whitney's still a part of that, but it's not as directly influenced as Midas and Argonaut. And I would ask Justin to clarify if there's anything I missed.
No, that's the reason why we surveyed Argonaut Midas is the beginning steps. But at this point, because of the scope of the project, because of the scope of what we were looking at, Whitney wasn't included in the survey because it was split into two phases, a Argonaut Midas phase one and then a Whitney phase two.
Okay. And it's kind of confusing to me that because on the item it referenced Whitney, Midas, Argonaut.
When for it comes the, back for 29,
I'm just saying right here in our. It said that it was pulled, but it was Whitney, Argonaut, Midas.
Yeah, this is the area that we've been talking about,
well,
and so
I understand,
all,
but
so
but,
the staff report talked about that phasing.
But the survey is not including Whitney at all.
No, it doesn't. The staff report specifically states that only phase one was surveyed.
Okay. All right.
For 29.
Okay. Well, I just wanted.
It is a little confusing, I understand. That Whitney is included in that whole issue with those three streets.
Wham, but, I understand.
Yeah, but we came to the conclusion that really phase one, Argonaut and Midas are uniquely connected because one directly influences the other. Whitney, not quite as much. So we decided to put it into a second phase.
Again, this is for information only, no action tonight. 31, brief announcements or brief reports?
I'd like to start and actually ask our Chief Lawrence maybe to summarize. We had Patriot Day last weekend. It was a big success, and, you know, I certainly want to make sure we recognize all those. And if you could also point out the one gentleman that we awarded the community award to for his contribution to the police. Do you mind me throwing you under the bus here and putting you on the spot?
Not at all. Okay. Thank you. I actually appreciate the opportunity. We estimate the crowd at Patriot Day on Sunday. It was held at Johnson Springview Park. We estimate the crowd to be about 4,000 people who came out and honored those who died in 9/11. And we, as you know, at the direction of council, put Patriot Day here together in Rockland as an opportunity for the community and public safety, police and fire, and our military to come together as a community and build those positive relationships. This year, I'm very excited because this year we actually took the past 12 months and we took those citizens who did some type of act to help public safety. Some of them were helping us catch a criminal, for example. A couple of them helped chase down a suspect. Not that we advocate people chasing down suspects, but in these scenarios, that's what happened. Some of them helped us by doing some type of a significant service, and one individual in particular donated $10,000 towards our next police canine dog. So that was quite nice to see. So we actually had some medals to give to the citizens and recognize them for their great service to public safety in Rockland.
Thank you. It was a really great to see. The weather was great, and it was very poignant being, you know, held on not September, you know, 9/11 as well. So it was great to see, and I hope more and more people get out there. And the public safety volunteers, you know, Ken out there, I know, was out there working hard, and everybody had put it together. It's really nice. Really nice to have a part of the community.
And I'm sorry I couldn't be there at a family obligation, but it sounds like a great celebration. George, anything from you?
No. I also attended Patriots Day, just at a different time. But it was a very nice event. Well attended by great people. And the heart was in the right place.
Another big event took place Friday night, the Quarry Bowl. And Rockland High, I guess, came out on top of that. Who's from Rockland? Anybody? Whitney? Sorry about that. Okay. So that was kind of exciting. and with that, City Manager report.
Nothing else besides what's in there.
Okay, thank you. Any future agenda items?
I have. Oh, you. I was going to hit the same. Okay, mine would be we have discussed having a city manager. Okay. All right. Sorry. We're a little behind on a city manager annual
evaluation,
and we need to schedule that. I guess is succinctly put. And George, you said you're not going to be. You're not going to be here.
The next meeting, I won't be here. I'd like to make sure that when we schedule something, it's you can bring it back. The next time for a meeting for when Greg's here, and maybe even hopefully we'll have a fifth member here, which may or may not have any input on the performance of the city manager, depending on who we select. But
we could schedule something for – would you be open to make sure we maybe get something on the calendar for October, one of the October meetings?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Could we have Barbara maybe, run that down and for council?
I don't care.
Okay, all right.
I'm happy to do it. To do that, the future agenda items when we're I don't object to that. But
okay.
Traditionally on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, we normally don't have a city council meeting. Are we planning to have one this year? Usually it gets canceled early in the year, and I thought it had been.
This one wasn't canceled because there's a general plan amendment scheduled, and we gave the option of that meeting or having a special meeting the next week, and the majority chose to go with the week or
okay.
the meeting
I
on
just
the week
wanted
of Thanksgiving.
To double check that
okay.
my calendar wasn't that way. For 25 years it was, so 24
okay.
years.
Okay. So, but to be clear, though, that Barbara, you can schedule a city attorney evaluation.
City attorney.
I was looking at the city attorney
city
and saying that. City manager at one of our meetings in October.
Great. Deanne.
Just comment for future agenda items. I'd like to have a closed session at the next council meeting on September 27th, and I'd like to request that we can do that in the 5 o'clock hour. I know sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. I'm going to request outside council to come. So for the city paying that, it's just more efficient sometimes to do that during the 5 o'clock hour. So if that's acceptable, I'd like to move forward on that. But if there's objections because of scheduling, I understand.
Won't be here.
Okay, I'm fine. I have
one more.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. I anticipate that we have a new council member joining the council shortly, and one of the requirements for council members and other is an ethics training, and I propose and intend that we do an in-person ethics training at this opportunity. So I propose that within the next 2 months, we schedule it's called an AB1234 training, which is the law that required it about 10 years ago to do a two-hour ethics training. So I'd like to schedule that for the council's opportunity as well as our commissioners and our management staff. My intent and thought is to do two personal ethics trainings in the next 6 months, one close in time to now with our new appointment, and then another one after the election season to pick up another opportunity. And this would be, I think, traditionally in the past, there's been online ethics training opportunities. So it would be an in-person ethics training. And then in the event that council members or commissioners or staff do not have the opportunity to attend the two in-person sessions, they would be given the opportunity to do the online. So I wanted to raise that with council and invite if there's any preference for scheduling. It's required to be a two-hour session, so I'm open for your comments and suggestions, and maybe you can't provide that tonight. But, can we do that from 9 to 11 during the week one day? Is that preferred to do an afternoon or an evening? I'm raising it so that I meet your needs, and we get that scheduled accordingly.
Well, just in general, earlier in the morning and later in the afternoon is better
for
me.
Your mic's not on.
Yeah, it is. It's early in the morning, later in the afternoon is better for me just because I'm in Sacramento. But it could be different for everybody else. I have one agenda item I'd like to recommend, and sooner rather than later, memo came across my inbox from the League of California Cities regarding local ordinances as they relate to the potentiality of the recreational marijuana ballot measure passing. And there's language in the ballot measure that says basically if municipalities don't have certain things in place by the date that it passes, then they can't implement them after election day. So I would recommend that we do quickly evaluate that and update our ordinances to as closely mirror the medical marijuana ordinance as possible, and also to the degree we can encourage our fellow municipalities in Placer County to do the same.
Good idea. I'd like to have the chief, because I thought we were already pretty much squared away under our ordinances. We were more stringent than the state ordinances, are we not, under what's been proposed?
That's true. I believe ours is squared away, but to your advice and direction, we'll make sure that whatever might potentially happen in November, that ours would still be what council
decides. Because if we were going to do that, it would have to take place at the next meeting, because you're going to have 30 days, and then after that, you're going to have an election.
Unless we take an we can do act on it on an emergency basis. If we
well, that's an option also.
Yeah.
But you're right. It needs to be done sooner than later if there's going to be any modification.
Great. So thank you, everybody, for that. Future strategic planning items. Nope. Anything from the Public Financing Authority? City Council acting as successor agency. We'll now adjourn to closed session, and the item is item 35, conference with legal counsel on existing litigation under Government Code Section 54956.9D1, Pereira versus City of Rockland, Placer County Superior Court case SCB 00365.94. Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none, we'll go to closed session. Thank you all for joining us.
Reportable action from closed session. First of all, I wanted to note for the record that Councilmember Butler did not participate in the closed session action item, as he has received a campaign contribution and just in abundance of caution did not participate in that. So by a vote of 2-0, a majority of the quorum, the council approved the renewed joint defense agreement authorizing the joint representation of the City of Rockland and Clear Channel Outdoor, Inc. by the law firm of Porter Scott Attorneys. And I have that motion and agreement for the clerk. Thank you.